welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
Who wears the shadow government when you need it? Who wears the shadow government? Well, it's a bad, bad world. It's a bad, bad world. It's the shadow government, and you need it.
Yeah. No, you won't get it, dude. You won't get it. You know why? Because when
like Queensryche or something like that, it had a kind of a Queensryche vibe.
When DM Dave has to come up with these goddamn songs, I had to start searching on the internets to find songs I've never heard of. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Three Wise DMs. This is the Rock and Roll DM, DM Dave. And that, our song tonight, which I'm doing it again and again. I bent that note in the beginning and then I just had to go with it, was The Shadow Government by They Might Be Giants. So, really famous band. Everyone's like, oh, They Might Be Giants. Like, I think I know one song that they had other than Istanbul is Constantinople.
They influenced Queensryche. It definitely Color had a bit of a mind crime vibe there or something like that.
So, I can't even tell you how weird that is, Chris, because literally I was getting changed from work thinking about, like, all right, songs for tonight. And I was like, is there anything off mind crime that I could use? I swear to God I was, which is wild. Yeah, maybe it was there. I remember now. I remember how it started. Maybe do an episode tonight, huh? Tune in for an episode. Maybe, who knows? We'll do it. So, as you guys know, we have been doing the real-time world-building experiment. We have our Boomtown campaign setting. We are building it out a lot. Like, we have a lot of stuff built out, including, again, the first Boomtown number one, named Gallows Springs, which we kind of talked about last episode. But tonight, what we wanted to kind of break into and why I was singing about the Shadow Government by They Might Be Giants. Check it out. It's kind of a cool tune. But we're going to start talking about the big bad faction, like the BBEG of the entire campaign world that we've been mentioning, talking about, alluding to our idea of this shadowy conglomerate over on the east coast of this world that is creating all these boom towns. So we are going to get into some faction building here and we're going to see where it goes. And again, guys, please jump in and join the conversation. Give us your thoughts, your ideas. When we put polls out there, please vote with them. Share it with your friends. You can reach us at threewisedms.com. You can reach us at threewisedms@gmail.com. And also, a lot of this is happening on Facebook and Instagram. So please reach out and join the conversation. But shadow government factions, what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, I'm much more partial to Birdhouse in Your Soul, Whistling in the Dark, or Particle Man from The American Giants, but I will digress.
Jesus, I don't know any of those.
Cuts.
Yeah, I showed you guys. I knew something about music. I know it is shocking.
Dude, you should have known The Shadow Government. I mean, it's just...
You got me on that. I'll give it to you. That's yours. So The Shadow Government, one of the ways I kind of envisioned this is... these people have a negative outlook on a lot of different versions of magic. Maybe they're cool using magic gear, but not necessarily the most of spell casting. And they probably are kind of hoarding, we're talking about technology. This all falls under this massive technology umbrella. So they've also collected data, information, secrets. They probably have the best idea of what really happened to this world than anybody. Maybe they don't know per se exactly, but they've got many more pieces of the puzzle than they would allude to. And they certainly, while they have this public, very negative view of certain things, privately, they have people who are adept in casting spells and perhaps reproducing this technology that they're searching the wastelands and collecting and taking off people who are unauthorized.
No, and I think kind of building off that, I was thinking about it, and we kept talking about a corporation or a conglomerate, but that's sort of, it doesn't have that driving force, and it sort of makes me think something like the idea of like a church state, like a theocracy, where they have this, their doctrine is basically against everything that you're finding outside in the wastes and all the stuff that you're bringing in. They control all the stuff, right? It's a theocracy. There's a religious, there's religious leaders. There would be somebody like a supreme leader, right? Who may or may not be AI or something like that, if we're making the other guy AI, so to speak there. But I think you could really dig into that, because it, then it makes them have a distinct purpose. I think the lawmen then become religious zealots that show up, right? Like, it's not just the guy in a hat. It's a guy who's going to come in and kind of enforce the divine state, is what I called it. But the divine state's will is that this is what they're trying to push, and they're trying to get other people. And so they're trying to quash religions in the boom towns, as well as control the flow of tech. Kind of appearing, kind of like what Tony is saying, kind of appearing sort of anti-tech while actually being pro-tech and doing stuff on their own to kind of develop their own power for some sort of final battle. But that was a, I thought that would be a cool twist to the way that it is, because it makes them different than a corporation. The money is going to obviously influence people, but religious zealotry makes them much more dangerous.
Well, I mean, that's definitely a that is something that's been utilized over and over again, right? Because it is so powerful. I would say I like both of where you guys are going, but like I referenced last episode too, I think because we're kind of building this idea of a campaign setting out, like, so this is the general structure of this setting, and then you as a DM can now fast forward it, rewind it, add, subtract, whatever you want to do. So like the floor of this campaign setting, for the Boomtown campaign setting, for me, it's, we're kind of starting, we talked about it last time, that the technology of the day is something like, you know, 19th century Earth, give or take, right? It's a normal world. Then the tech begins to be discovered in the wastes, right? At this point, magic has now entered the world. So just like if magic entered the 19th century, that would be fucking crazy. It would literally reshape the entire world. And for me, I feel like that's kind of, I think we should take it kind of like that's the start point, and we come out from there with who is this faction. And I think it fits for both of what you guys were talking about, right? It could be a religious thing, but they were kind of empty prior to this. Now they have power behind it, so they're using it. But then it plays into that whole idea of like the prophet, like we talked about, coming in from the wastes, you know. But the idea that like the magic is being utilized, they are gathering it and they are using it, because I mean, we all retread the same things, but Dune, right? The spice is the life, and literally the entire existence of the universe as it is because of the spice, the way they know it, right? So I'm thinking, like, how does it start from there? They were gathering the tech, and that's who's utilizing it, right? Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, they're the ones who are creating the boom towns. They're the ones who are identifying this. And then I think based upon that, you could spin off other faction ideas from that, right? Like, obviously, you have the idea, like, we have this, you know, whether they're religious or not, you have this large shadowy thing, you have this small religions popping up in town, the prophets coming in. It would be a great spot where there would be a faction where there would be anti-tech and anti-religion, almost agnostic, like an agnostic faction, where that would be something you'd have to deal with. Those would be people that would actually be aggressive to the boom towns and to that, right? You're concerned about the divine state or the conglomerate because you have to make sure that the tech keeps flowing and stuff like that. But then somebody like an agnostic group, right, that shows up, they're more like a terrorist group where they could show up in the boomtown at any point, and they're more concerned with wiping out whatever technology you're bringing. Maybe they believe something completely different, right, that this is all wrong, and they're trying, you know, they're starting a holy war of sorts. I'm really leaning into the holy war and the church state thing, but it kind of spidered off, and then all of a sudden I was like, ooh, a group of like agnostic sort of terrorists. But that kind of an idea where it provides that you could always have them show up at any point. The threat of them showing up is ever present, right? Because they can't be bargained with like the divine state or other people could possibly be.
That's interesting. I kind of like the divine state versus the prophets vibe. I do like that more than a corporation, for sure. Now, to your one idea, Chris, I wanted them to be agnostic. You could have a cult of anti-technology, per se. That doesn't frame it correctly. They're more like anti-magic, but perhaps they found technology aspects of the things they found in the waste, and that they find to be true and pure and despise magic. We could run with that. Perhaps they're in opposition to the church. Perhaps they're in opposition against, you know, the settlers, the collectors, the players in general. But also, I don't know, on a side note, that I would want to make this shadowy church really the BBEG. I figure it's got to kind of be like maybe they can be an opposition, but you know, there should be demons in the wasteland, or perhaps there is some technology force that's out there that people don't realize it has motives, but perhaps it is, you know, it's got its hooks into society and it's leveraging things behind the scenes.
I think you could almost have the supreme leader of the divine state end up being something like that, where you're getting interpreted his, you know, the people that speak to him are then speaking to you, and no one ever gets to see the emperor or the divine being, the person who's delivering all this stuff from their quote unquote deity, right? Like, and stuff like that, that could turn up and be a, you know, it doesn't have to be a demon, but right, could be something like a legitimate BBEG versus something like that, to your point, where it's just sort of this broad amorphous thing where it's difficult to have, like, you know, you just show up and you're like, well, what's going to happen?
Yeah, Tony, when I was saying like the BBEG in that way, it's more like it's because they're such a they're kind of the inciting incident of the campaign world as it is, right? This idea of this very powerful organization pretty much creating the entirety of what becomes the Boomtown campaign setting. Because prior to that, it's just kind of normal world with maybe some weird races and creatures in it, right? Outside of that, it's just generally like Western Earth kind of thing, let's say, right? But they have now discovered this. So what makes me, as I'm listening to you guys, so I do not hate this idea of the divine state thing or some sort of thing, but I would kind of posit, like, if we look at it, building this faction as something that Matt Colville talks about, where he talks about having the general fulcrum or the tug of war of what the campaign is, you know, and this can change depending on what campaign you're running in the world. But the main question, and I think it would be interesting because for me, this quote unquote divine state is empty prior to Boomtowns, right? Prior to the magic being discovered, this old tech that is very magical to them. So they're now gathering it, maybe to hoard it and keep it away from the commoners because they don't like it. Maybe it's to give them some level of power, but then it turns into this tug of war between religion and faith in a way, right? Like the religion, it's just the empty coffin of something that just is this institution, but now people have actual like power. And they're being changed by it, and they're being warped by it, like we've talked about with like sorcerers and stuff, the radiation of it. And then, like we talked about early on, the prophet idea, this person that walks in from the hard pan, you know, with the visor low on their eyes, and they start talking about this other stuff, which is a very like it's real faith stuff with something behind it. So it becomes this tug of war. Like for me, you know, religion versus faith, you know, which I think are very different things.
No, and I think that's a very good point, like that it's the faith. But I think it also provides a very easy setup for your adventure when you show up there is functionally right. Like I mean, if we're talking about a fulcrum, it's the tech. So, right. Somebody finds some tech. Your group finds some tech within the first session or something that generates that the divine state becomes interested. Then all of a sudden you include some of those other things, but you create that interest in the party from the shadowy thing where they're actually going to start to encounter them regularly, right? There's something out there. The idea that we're constantly bringing stuff back, there's going to be stuff out there that comes back that's going to be much more significant from a religious perspective or whatever they're trying to control than other stuff. A magic gun is one thing, right? The puppet shoots other things, but an artifact or something like that would be a great way to start that, because that would be something that would have much more value as far as the story that they're trying to control, the faith that they're trying to instill in everybody has to have very concrete things. Like, you can't have these things showing up from the wastes that are compromising what it is they're trying to accomplish by hoarding all this and becoming more and more powerful.
So, I don't know if we're ready to look at a second faction, or we still want to stick with this one. We still like fleshing this one out.
Well, yeah, because I think that this, for me, I feel like this, the Divine State, the conglomerate, the whoever, like this very large group that incites the entirety of the world of why you're adventuring in it, they have to have like a real reason, and how are they doing it, and why, like that type of thing, like how is it built out, you know, it's, what is the divine state, like what are they, is it about money, is it about, like, that's what I'm saying, like, it's, I think this theocracy. Is an idea, but this isn't like a,
no, yeah. I mean, you think you base it upon the theocracies of the thing. It's at its heart, it's about money, right? It's the quickest way to make, you know, begin thing is to start a religion. But on the output, you know, you figure if we're talking about there's some ancient struggle between things. So if the idea that the supreme leader of this divine state and whatever is out in the waste are somehow having some sort of a tug of war themselves, then that sort of helps to drive what it is that they're doing, right? It helps to drive that he's influencing them. He's making people powerful and wealthy in the church state, which is helping to build the faith, right? But he's also working against whatever's happening and trying to control what's coming in from the waste to help to keep the whatever is out there that is the big bad good guy, right? Or the big good, I don't know what the big good guy is called, but the, you know, the, like the person that they're fighting against is out there. And I think that's where the tension could be. That's the drive, the secret drive behind what they're doing. Because besides that, I mean, it's the acquisition of power and wealth, right? It's like why any religion would start, and especially a theocracy where you could just say that, well, this reading means this, and therefore you should give me, you know, this much money, or you should tithe, or you should give up these kind of technologies and such.
So all these things in this world are out there. Like there's technology floating around, undiscovered, unclaimed, in all kinds of forms, literal tech, magic, psionic, all that great stuff. And the church is obviously one of the more prominent powers that's seeking to get this. Now, does the church necessarily have to have created all these boom towns, or do they just have influence on them?
That was my third faction that I created, was the guild. And that essentially would be the church state itself wouldn't want to do all of the menial work as far as having to get the tech back and forth from the boom towns, the construction of the boom towns, the utilities and stuff like that. So you would have this powerful group that would be attached somewhat to the divine state, but would handle stuff like the trains that came in when they have trains or that kind of thing, the transportation of the tech, all of the state-run facilities in town would be handled by the guild. And so they would have power themselves based upon that and be somewhat, while they're working with the state, have their own level of power and influence because of the portions of the world that they control. As far as it's going to be it's a boom town, so to travel anywhere is a huge amount of stuff. To transport technology across hundreds of miles is a big thing. They would have wield an immense amount of power.
I kind of see them as a thieves guild, really. Matter of speaking,
but something like that, they're right, they would be shadowy in the fact, and they control all the utilities. They would, you know what I'm saying, they would have
their power, money,
even though they're the divine state, they'd be like, oh yeah, you're super powerful. Meanwhile, they're having their own ends. Maybe they're looking for something themselves outside of what the divine state is, now that they, you know, they become this rich and powerful because they're handling all this stuff for them.
Money lenders.
Yes. Well, one thing that, as you guys are kind of talking about that, well, it's making me think, we could, in essence, so what we originally were calling the conglomerate, right, could literally be a conglomerate. So, like, I'm thinking, like, I mean, we could go Roman with the name, you know, like the triumvirate, right? But if you have something where the group is multiple groups, it's, let's say, three groups, right? You have the divine state, who handle the religion and all of that of the people. You have the commerce guild people, right? And then you have the something else,
lawmen. They have their own division, like a special type of lawman, right?
Like the military arm. And they are three heads of the same thing that all work to get, quote unquote, together as the, you know, like when I said the triumvirate or whatever we want to, whatever it might be called. But they are not all in agreement. Right. The Commerce Guild looks at things the way the Commerce Guild would look at things, and the military arm or the law would look at it things the way the law does, and the Divine State would look at things the way the Divine State does. So there is also infighting within them that then drives even more of the political bickering and the brinksmanship that changes how boomtowns are run, where the stuff is going. You know, it creates channels to allow for backdoor dealings and things like that as well. So it's not just this one monolithic thing. It is a collection of them all vying for that ultimate power. But they, in essence, control the entirety of what we understand as the world. And like going further back, like you could say, like from something Tony had said, where it could almost be like, well, like, we only, like you had said, Tone, like, well, there's all this stuff kind of floating out there that is now being discovered. And like, in a way, it's being rediscovered because the quote unquote, the cataclysm occurred, whatever happened, right? The doom of Valeria. And now all that is really populated at this point is this section of the world of the thing, which starts as our conglomerate group, right? And then has spread outwards to the, you know, as you kind of put light in the dungeon, right? You kind of like do the fog of war as you open up the rooms, and now you have all of this undiscovered waste, you know, that's being rediscovered. So that kind of does answer that question too.
I'd say if you're adding in the cataclysm part, that could be a cool, that would be something overall history wise, but the supreme leader and the thing out, the things could be pre-cataclysm entities that are now trying to finish the final battle in this sort of rediscovering of that. One of them is triggering this, the other one is trying to stop them from finding the tech and either bringing forth another cataclysm or, you know, some other thing like that. So,
well, it kind of I mean, we have to have something like that because the tech is being rediscovered, right? So it came somewhere, this really powerful stuff. So, ergo, something was here before, and then, you know, so whatever that is, that break in time.
Yeah, I think that's pretty solid. The Divine State, maybe the Brokers, and the Mercenary Guild, so to speak, or faction.
Yeah, and, like the military arm of it, right? Yeah.
Right, so it's not, like, it's kind of interesting, but it's not overly complicated. They're not like a poli-sci, you know, class to understand, you know, like how the government works in our setting here.
Yeah, and obviously this is ripe for people giving us names. What would we name these things? And also thoughts on this idea, this kind of like Trinity idea that we have kind of percolating here. So again, guys, reach out. And let us know, you know, reach out to us directly or get into the conversations on socials.
Yeah, no, and I think in some ways they would be like the military arm, the commerce thing and stuff. They would be struggling internally, but they would be outwardly united in some fashion publicly.
Oh, God,
towards the supreme leader is the thing. But there would definitely be like the person who becomes the head of the military arm, right? All of a sudden gains a bunch of power and could possibly side with the guild or with other people. So you could definitely introduce that political thing there. And especially with the military arm there, I think that's cool with the zealots, is that then you could start to have, we always talked about, you know, the lawman would come to town. Now you could have somebody who's legitimately frightening coming to town, where he's not just a lawman. He's like, you know, he's like Wyatt Earp, where he just doesn't take no for an answer kind of stuff like that. He's just going to slap you around or whatever like that.
They've all had access to a lot of this power that is now flooding into.
Yes.
So they're starting as more powered, and you are. Yeah, absolutely.
No, the zealots would be coming in, and they would have tech on them, and people may start to question it, right? Because they're supposed to be somewhat anti-tech and everything like that. You could do a lot with this.
So you want to look at the, maybe the factions besides the big three? Like, that's okay. So we got a stable government, but they're like, we also touched on an anti-magic faction, so to speak. Like, perhaps they just deal with strictly technology, right? Or what about the actual prophets? You know,
that,
they're not.
That or like a, something like an actual thieves guild or something, or that would be a collection of them, right? But there would definitely be criminal factions around that. Maybe each boomtown has a, you know, a whatever brothers there or is, something yeah, faction, yeah. But larger sections of that, there would have to be this, right? Like, it, you know, so the church would be fighting them as well, right? As well as your characters sort of running into them. But there would definitely be criminal factions just busting up and probably growing into larger factions. So there could be ones that weren't just the Baker brothers, but something where it's a, you know, something that's larger, like a faction that would handle bigger things.
More organized. Yeah. You would absolutely have the Thieves Guild, or not necessarily guild, but like, you know, make thieves can't matter again, right? Yeah. Like, make the language that rogues get matter, because
the horse robbers or something like that.
Well, yeah,
right?
Because you would have ways to communicate. There is no connection between them other than they're all kind of on the other side of things. So like different boom towns, like, you would be able to possibly get in with them. You know, it was kind of like, if I go back to the Slaver's Bay campaign, it was how I was building out what I was calling the Jolly Punks. There was like a loose-knit group that kind of went by their own, they marched to their own drummer. So they were on both, they play both sides of the thing as well as their, you know, that type of thing. But yeah, like a loosely, a loose-knit rogues gallery thieves thing. Yeah.
Almost like if there could be almost a fourth part of the Trinity, right, as a larger criminal organization fueled by the guild or something like that, where it's not an
outside. No, they're outside. They got to be outside of it.
They're a powerful group that is like the Shadow Clan, that basically no one talks about them, but they're the assassins and all these other people that are doing that so that the guild itself can lift shipments off when they want to and control the stuff. So they're trying to make themselves more powerful. They could be working, help the military arm and stuff like that, to where they're connected, but yet they're a criminal organization that you might encounter out in the things, but they have ties directly into the guild and stuff like that. That's really where their power is coming from, how they become, to your point, otherwise it'd be difficult in a place like that to have a large-scale criminal organization.
I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking our big three, and then we got like three other tiers underneath there. We can add more, certainly. And I've got notes here like the anti-magic faction, hostile, ? Or we could do plenty with that. And then the prophets, they discovered divine magic. They're seeing visions. Obviously, the divine state, they're going to be in conflict with them. And then you've got the criminal faction, where you'd have black market access to tech. You'd go to fence your illegal stuff. And if you're looking for assassins, that's probably who I'd talk to.
Yeah, you would have that. You would have the I would say like the anti-magic, like that concept, like people who are like, they don't like whatever's happening with it, whatever their stance is, but it's them and the prophet or whatever that might be, that kind of gets all lumped into like, we could just call it like the resistance, as it were, because it's people that are pushing against the status quo of the triumvirate, right? And then your illegality people, right? The rogues gallery, they play both sides. They work with the resistance. They work with, as Chris said, they work with the military arm, and they're the ninjas and the assassins. They hire them on and they keep them off book or whatever it might be, but they get to kind of play all the sides to be this real X factor within the world.
No, and I was like, where you go with Tony, like that, if we're going to have a prophet return, like if we can't water it down with too many religions in the town, if we want them to be legitimately like a faction unto themselves inside a town. So kind of coming up with an idea of what is the real religion that's opposed to what the divine state is kind of trying to push there. What is the prophet coming back with, right? Like, becomes its own thing. And then I'm even thinking, like, if you think about it, I mean, they kind of end up like the anti-magic group, but mutants, right? Like, groups, like people that were out in the desert, right? People out in the waste that you didn't know were out there, who had been mutated long before, now returning out, right? Maybe they're more like a resistance. Maybe they have their own things. They could even themselves be the anti-magic group, because they're trying to show what they've done to them, right? The guy's got like three arms or something like that, 2 ears.
And they came from also maybe the time before, where they saw what that led to this, you know, in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So we got the state faith. And however we actually we want to frame that, that's a religion onto itself. I mean, in terms of who is there, who are they praying to? But the prophets, this is where we can introduce the pantheon right there. You can throw out, like, you know, God, goddess, A, B, C, D, E, F.
I like it. That's actually, it works nicely with the divine magic too. Having one prophet would be a little bit tight, but just to keep them somewhat faction wise, because they themselves would kind of constitute their own factions, where you may gain missions helping them, assisting them, or encounter them in some capacity in your adventures there, especially the prophet that returns to your particular boomtown, right? Or something like that.
I'll call them the seven. Seven yeah. Gods got it.
Boom. Ooh, I like it. I'm writing down the seven right now.
Like Homelander and A-Train and The Deep.
I never saw that, actually.
Oh yeah, the boys show, they call them the seven, but okay. But yeah, I mean, it could be a for me, like, that the actual, like, faith based. Like the people who have, like, something real that they're bringing to the table, and people like the anti-magic people, I think they kind of can all get lumped into that idea of, like, the resistance, right? Because you have the status quo of the trio, and then you have anything that's working against that, and then in essence the adventurers are between those two, that rock and a hard place, right? But Chris, one of the things you were saying too, like, the you know, you have the mutants and stuff and all of that, because they've been getting, like we talked about, like, warlocks and druids and sorcerers and stuff in this world they were being mutated by the power of the technology and the artifacts out there in the wastes that is imbuing them. But if there were people that exist out there, right? It's not like the world is just barren other than this little, like, you know, two-state area. So they've been being warped by it, and that kind of harkens back to some of my what I was kind of spitballing a couple episodes ago with, like, a lot of some of the creatures and things from, like let's say things from the Monster Manual are these things that have been they're part of this world with the artifacts and the magic and stuff. But, like, they also have, like, they're not just these mindless creatures or mutants. Like, they have thoughts and feelings and, like, civilizations and cultures that, like, are now maybe being infringed upon too, and they might have thoughts about that. So they start to they're also kind of part of that resistance as well. But this clash of cultures.
And it's just, I was thinking too, when you're thinking, like, the prophets themselves, what if they were mutants, right? And that was part of the religion's problem with them in some degree, or what it attacks them with, is that they themselves would come back radically changed from it. Maybe that's really what the religion that they're bringing back is, that they're so different and changed now from being out there. And they have groups, they bring their own, right? They have a following that they bring with them from the desert, right? That helps them, right? Because you're the prophet. I mean, they're just wandering out. They're wandering out with some of their disciples who would also be mutated, right? Some people would be things, some people would be amazed by the power that they're bringing back. And then the divine state would get involved, right? Because that's, you know, it's like the ugly laws or whatever. I've been reading about them recently. So those kind of things where all of a sudden it would be like, oh, we need to get rid of them, right? Like, we need to wipe them out. So.
I know, Jean Grey was hideous. I mean, my God. Like,
yeah. Different kind of mutants. Go. More like, yeah. More like Swamp Thing or something like that.
Caliban, yeah.
But we could roll with that and say, like, these druids, these sorcerers, they've been changed by the wasteland, relics, the environment, whatever, you know, hook we want to throw out there. And then at which point we call them wastelanders and have a really open very DMs working with you kind of chart of possibilities of how you may be affected in what way. Because somebody may not want to have play a character who looks like Caliban. I'm just throwing that out there.
We don't have to have you, so you have to, you grow another ear if you go out into the wastes or something. It could be something cool with the idea that these people were born and are constantly inundated with it day after day. You would get some boost, but it would be like being exposed to radiation constantly. They would themselves would be, but the character that you're playing wouldn't necessarily grow another arm unless you wanted them to, you know, or something like that.
I think that you could easily, like, because again, we're kind of building this. I mean, this to a point is system agnostic, but I mean, obviously, we're building it with a lot of our 5e play in mind, right? But that absolutely, you don't even have to think about, like, you know, they have three eyes or something, as much as maybe that's why your character is a dragonborn. Maybe that's why your character is a tiefling. Maybe that's why your character is a tortle, right? Is that you have been warped. So two things. One, it is allowing the varying ancestries and creatures and humanoid things within the world that you know, players are, you know, I want to play this. Okay. But then two, it also, just from what we've been kind of going back and forth with tonight, the people who are being changed out there, right? So our basic idea was that magic is technology, right? And yes, but the technology is also, the power of it is also changes people, and it changes them at like the cellular level, right? It turns them into something else. And it also imbues them with inherent magic. The difference between wizard and sorcerer is, one, the power is just, I have it. Where a wizard, I have to go learn it, right? And that's that constant battle. Like, I had to go and study this stuff, and I just had it. Right. So, like, the trio, right, the holy trio on the East Coast, they are gaining, they were just normal dudes who had power, and now they have tech and stuff that's giving them like godlike powers, but they also now have people out there that are actually having godlike powers, and that is a struggle. And that goes back to my like religion versus faith kind of thing. Like, well, now you have people who, like, they've been literally changed, like they are the power. They don't just have, you know, they don't just pick something up and have it, you know.
And if you think about it, too, the people that are in the boom towns, like, if the world is a massive place, it's post-cataclysm, post-apocalyptic, a lot of empty spaces, the people in the boom towns are coming from the church state. Maybe it's just a state with a powerful church at first that sends them out. But those people come out there, so they could encounter all kinds of stuff, of factions out there that they would have never met in their own place there, right? There was a town, there was a city, and eventually somebody found some magic. The church heard about it, right? And all of a sudden mobilized, sent out the boom towns, and then took that place over, and it swollen, you know, the boom towns. But as you're out there, you're going to encounter all the people that were living in the wastelands that, you know, after the cataclysm, their people were there. Those were their lands. And so they're now all changed. Like, it's a great way, because I mean, if you think, like, the boomtown people, they're not just going to pop up out of the ground. Like, they're coming from the church state, right? They may not agree with them or everything, but that's they're all coming from the East Coast and moving out to the West to come and get their gold and stuff like that. So
yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. All these other races that are not, so predominantly I would say, throwing it out there, these boomtowns are human, generally speaking, with a butt. And these other races that are out there in the undiscovered waste, what have you, you got your elves, you've got your tiefling, you got everything else at the front of it. Now, the humans who have been touched by magic, I like your mutant hook there. Like, maybe they don't have they have discolored pupils, or they have no shadow, or they have no reflection. Make it interesting. They don't have to, you know, and if you want to have forearms, maybe we can figure that out.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a disfiguring thing, but I just think something that makes them demonstrably different. So when they show up, and that, right, that first, that these people are going to move out there, they're going to meet elves, and tieflings and stuff, and it's gonna be like, oh, this is crazy. Wow, I saw a guy with horns with red skin, right? And then all of a sudden, some guy's gonna wander in from the desert, whatever, you know, pupils, he's glowing or something like that, and he's gonna do something, and I'm gonna be like, holy shit, like, that's, well, whatever with these elves, like, what's going on with you? Like, he has to have some demonstrative difference to make him the prophet, right? Like, that he's like, and I think that just the fact that he would be somewhat ugly in the eyes of the church would be something powerful that they could use against him.
Yeah, Tony, I had said that a couple episodes ago. I agree with that. I think that, like, when we're talking about the East Coast, we're talking about Holy Trio Central, it is the Empire. It is white guys, right? Like, it's literally like humans, dwarfs, halflings. Only things that are like humanoid, that aren't weird, that don't have like big pointy ears, that don't have scales on their, that kind of thing. Boom towns on the edge of known civilization are Mos Eisley cantinas, right? Because that is the intermingling, because you're right on the border. So yeah, Chris, when you come out to the boomtown with your wagon, or you come on the hover train, you all of a sudden, like, there's some Goliath walking down in the saloon, and you're like, what the fuck is this, you know? And yeah, so it's much more, but like the Empire, right, the conglomerate, the Holy Trio, the divine state, they are white bread, man. They are, right?
And they would be,
and specifically keep it that way. Yeah, yeah. And I think dwarfs can be included in that, because they're kind of like humans, right? They're just really short, you know. But regardless, yeah. So
awful table matters.
With that said, let's go to some final thoughts. So we have started to build out actually a lot of factions, and then a lot of the interplay with factions in the world. So let's get some final thoughts on that.
So, yeah. All right. We are in agreement. So it looks like we've got a divine state, a guild for who are perhaps the brokers, the mercenary aspect. And that's our big three right there. And then we have perhaps underneath them an anti-magic group, the prophets, and a criminal faction where you get your assassins and your you'd be doing all your black market stuff. From the prophets, we're probably looking at your diversity in Pantheon, while the church state has this one religion, which, you know, they, you know, can't get enough of. And finally, yeah, like, we're coming back to the idea from a couple episodes ago, outside of all of this, yeah, we have all the races. So they're non-human. And when you caught this boomtown, you're going to see some sights you would never have seen on the East Coast.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, I like the idea that they're human coming out there, because it creates that thing there. Obviously, player characters could play other things, but the idea is that you're having these people come move out there. Like, they had no idea in their own secluded space out there on the other side of the world that these kind of people existed, this kind of stuff existed. I think that ends it really well. And I think some of the factions that we're creating do is that it's one thing just to say that I want to have, this is a company here and stuff, like, we kept talking about a corporation, but we've created a reason why the corporation, or the, in this case, the church state, would want to be there, why it would be important to the adventure, right? Which I think is good with factions, is that it's like, it's one thing just to open up, like, you sometimes you open up and they have like seven factions in this source book, and you're like, none of them are really coming up, you know, nothing's really jumping out of me. But these ones, I think they have a lot of teeth for the adventure, is that the divine state is going to be a big part of it. The agnostics and those kind of anti-magic groups are going to show up a lot. You're going to encounter the criminal element, the rogues guild, the prophet coming in there, and it all works towards the same idea of the tech. It doesn't water it down a lot. It's all about the technology in the end, right? Like, it has a singular purpose for all of the factions, which I think is really neat and tidy.
So for me, I'm going to echo Tony's ideas. So the way that I'm kind of envisioning this that we currently have is, on the East Coast, our main, the start, the capital of everything that has turned into the Boomtown campaign setting is, I'm just using the term triumvirate. I want to hear from you guys what we're thinking, but it's that three-headed, they it's like a triangle. They're all working together, but they're also all working against each other. You got the divine state, you got the military arm, you have the commerce guild. You have the resistance, and the resistance includes a lot of different factions that are all pushing against that status quo. And then the rogues, the thieves, the jolly punks, whatever, that are the X factor that can play either side against the middle. One of the things I thought was really fascinating that happened is, as we're talking about factions, it literally changed something very integral to the campaign setting. We have been going with this idea that all magic is tech in the end in this world. And Tony has kind of pushed back on that in some ways, saying, well, what about this? What about this? And like, okay. But when we started going into the idea of, well, what are they fighting against? Like this, Chris, you brought up the idea of this divine state, like this church that is the holy, you know, the holy see, and they are coming down hard. And it turned into, by the end, it's like tech versus real magic. So you have tech-based magic and the artifacts and the power that comes, but you also have the effects that this ancient technology has on the inhabitants of this world that really, as Tony wanted, allows actual authentic magic from my inner essence to come out, right? And that fight between those two, I think that's really something cool that happened that has added to what we currently have with Boomtown. So that's going to be it for me now. And guys, this, as I said in the beginning, I said it halfway through, reach out to us, please. Hashtag join the conversation, okay? We want to hear from you because we are crowdsourcing this campaign setting. A lot of the things that we've been doing are coming from us talking about it and then you guys talking back to us. So reach out to us, threewisedms.com. You can put it in the What's Your Problem field. You can reach out to us at threewisedms@gmail.com and also Facebook and Instagram. And please, the main mission of this podcast has always been that we are dungeon masters with problems. We love to help dungeon masters with problems. So if you are having a problem, a question, an issue at your table with the campaign you're running in the campaign setting that you have, reach out to us. We love to talk about it. And you can reach us at all of those handles as well. I was at PAX a couple weekends ago and was able to stop by the Fan Roll Dice table and talk with Todd there. We took a picture, me and the Wizard Washburn. You can go to our socials and see it. They have some really cool stuff coming out, so keep a lookout. And when you do see something that you want to get someone special for Christmas, go to our affiliate link at fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. You put in the code 3WISEDMS10, the number 3WISEDMS, the number 10, and you get 10% off your order. And that's probably on top of whatever other holiday deals they might be running now. I don't know. But anyway, that's going to be it for us this episode. And as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you to all of you listening from home. We really appreciate it. If you like what you've been listening to, please smash that 5-star rating button. Let us know. Leave a good review. Tell your friends. That really helps us grow. If you'd like to hear us answer any question you have, send it to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com or go to our website, 3wisedms.com, and enter it in the What's Your Problem field. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Instagram. We're active on all those platforms, so feel free to drop by, you know, send us a question, and we'll see if we can make it on the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on 3 Wise Deals.